Welcome back to the Dan Quinn Coaches Show. We're at Flowery Branch with Dave Archer, Wes Thurman. In the player spotlight today is Kamal Ismail in his fourth year out of Central Florida and coming off quite a game, career high in tackles, and really was the mainstay in the secondary yesterday in the win in Oakland, Arch.
Yeah, no question about it. Kamal, thanks for your time. Hey, we just heard the play where Hardy catches the tip ball on the Ryan throw on third down. Are you guys paying attention to that? You were pretty tired at that time. You've been playing a lot of football at that point. Did you pay any attention to that?
Yeah, I saw it. Saw it on the big screen. It was just the effort play. In our team room, we have a thing that says good things happen to those who run, and that's exactly what happened with Hardy. And it was his first touchdown. So, I mean, I'm proud of him, and it was a great play.
Well, that's a good call because it certainly was a hustle play. Ball in the air, anybody could end it up with it. Hardy wanted it more. Mm-hmm. Kamal, 15 tackles yesterday, and you were noticeably dragging one side of your body, but you just didn't want to come out of the game. I know you had to come out for one play, and I think the official maybe made you leave. I don't know that you necessarily signaled to come out. How tough was it to get through that game, his physical game yesterday?
Yeah, real physical game. Oakland is probably like the biggest team I've ever seen in NFL so far. And it was just more of a compete thing and toughness and having grit and just sacrificing it all for your brothers.
It's interesting. They've a lot of different analytics on your performance yesterday. One has you with making a defeat on the offense like four times in the game, which means it was either 0 yards or there was no plus to it at all. I know you don't have time to think about that when the game's in motion, but did you feel a rhythm of the game yesterday from your performance?
Yeah.
Was it different, I guess?
As far as what Oakland was doing, we knew what they were trying to do, and we knew what issues we would have to overcome.
Okay.
And part of that plan was once they catch the ball, no hidden yardage. Get them down on the ground right now. Because if you throw a ball 2-3 yards from the line of scrimmage and tackle them there, I mean, you won't win like that. And that's what we harp on, just getting in that kill zone and attacking.
Falcon safety Kamal Ismail with us here on the Player Spotlight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Kamal, there were a lot of great moments defensively, but there was a moment where they got the football back. You're up 14 points, and they began to move in that no-huddle offense. How hard is that? We talk about our offense, you know, exposing other teams' defense. How hard is it for you guys to get lined up? You're winded. It's late in the game. They're moving the ball, and they had a few broken tackles. How difficult was that?
It's hard, man, and especially with that heat out there that day. But we train for that in practice. We push ourselves as hard as we can push a team in practice. We do the hurry up. We do turbo. We do everything in practice. So we were trained for it, and it was going to come down to the best conditioned team and who wanted it more. Late in that game, I know I was blowed. Everybody was blowed. You could see it. But just having that resiliency and just holding out to the end, and, I mean, that's what it came down to. And we came out with a win.
So the payoff of the training camp, Coach Quinn talked extensively about how physical and demanding from a conditioning perspective training camp was going to be. And I guess the weather heated up there in August, so that helped too.
Yeah.
So the payoff was yesterday in some respects.
Yeah, no, and that's what's going to happen. We brought the heat with us, man. And it paid off, man. It actually played with us yesterday.
Yeah, they were wearing the black jerseys. You got to figure that maybe it affected the Raiders even more. I think this is two games in a row, and save that one drive we just spoke about, this is 2 weeks in a row where you guys look like the better conditioned team in the fourth quarter. I thought it was very evident in the Tampa game, even though you didn't win the game, and I thought it was evident again in this game, where especially on offense when you needed to get a first down, where Matt was able to get the completion, and the offensive line held up to get Sanu the ball to extend the drive to kind of run the clock out.
Yeah, and that comes down all to practice, man. Like Coach was talking about how hard the training camp was. Man, we run our butts off in practice. Guy catches a ball, we're running to him no matter where you at on that field. We're trying to take the ball off him. We're training each other every play. And when we have periods when we face our offense in normal ball, we're trying to beat each other. We're not letting them score. We're trying to make them look bad.
You've been kind of a guy that when you got here, you had a little bit of chip on your shoulder. Late round draft pick. And it's been one of the really good draft picks the Falcons have ever made, really, when you start looking at how you've contributed. You've taken the ball away, put the ball in the end zone. A number of things happened. Yesterday was just another one of those moments where you've chipped in and helped your team. Interesting year for you this year because they actually draft a guy that kind of plays the same position you do. And yet I didn't see you hang your head. I didn't see you do anything other than just come to work. How do you keep that resolve to just kind of do what you're supposed to do?
just having a positive outlook on everything, man. I love Keanu. He's gonna be a good football player. He's gonna make our team better. And you know, I feel like it's each one teach one. He's a rookie. I'm not gonna hang my head and be like, you know, I'm not gonna tell him anything. You know, that's not gonna benefit the team. I just want to win, and that's our overall goal. So I want to make him the best football player he can be. Just as much as he wants to make me good, he pushes me just like everybody in our room. So, I mean, it just comes down to brotherly love, man. What's more important, yourself or the team? And I'm tired of losing, so I'd rather take the winning road. So, and that's what it is.
It also speaks to some degree of your journey now through 3 years too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you've kind of seen some highs and lows. Dave mentioned the late round pick. You make this team originally in part because of special teams. You're an active, inactive guy some of that first year, maybe a good bit of that first year.
Yeah.
You eventually get your chance. You stick and stay a little bit. Now you want to scramble to make sure you're part of the 53 this year despite the draft pick, things like that.
Yeah.
Can you kind of talk about learning the business of football, I guess, and that part of the game that people rarely talk about?
Yeah, I mean – in black and white, if you're not first, second, third round, you know, it's nothing certain. Nothing's for sure. My first year, I was inactive probably 14 games. I had one tackle my first year. Second year, William Moore got hurt. That's when everything started getting pieced together. And basically, if you have that one year, they give you, I don't want to say they give you, but every year you have to improve, and that was the chip on my shoulder. My first year, I didn't want to ever end up being inactive and only playing one or two games. So I had that chip on my shoulder, like I was gonna be somebody on this team. Second year took off. Third year we had the new coach, learning defense, you know, making plays here and there. And this year, my goal was to, I'm gonna take off again, and you know, a lot of things factor into guys who are on the team and who's on practice squad. But, you know, I didn't worry about any of that. It was just making me the better me I can be. Like, I just knew I had to be somebody.
I think it's interesting because now in your fourth year, you've essentially become one of the senior men. Now, Deshaun Golson's just arrived. Now, he's a 9-year guy. But Trufant, you, and Rocky are the 4-year guys. You're the old guys in the secondary in 4 years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of weird like that.
Yeah, and before that Tampa Bay game, I talked to Tru. I'm like, you know what, Tru? Things are going to happen in this game, and we don't have anybody. I mean, as far as Golston, but he that was his first or second week there. So
yeah,
I'm like,
second week, yeah.
This is our first game that it's going to be on us. Like, if something goes bad, they're going to look at us and be like, you know what? We're the oldest guys in the room. We got to have an answer. We can't quit. We got to show them what we're about. And, you know, unfortunately, we lost that game, but we were firing. We fought to the end. We had a chance to win, but fortunately we came up short. But we fought to the end, just like this Raider game. We fought to the end, and we're going to fight to the end for every game.
We got the player of the game from yesterday, Kamal Ishmael, at 15 tackles. He's our player in the player spotlight for the Dan Quinn Coaches Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Kamal, where did you feel like your game needed to grow? You mentioned you didn't play a lot your first year and then played a ton your second year, made a lot of plays. But it looked like you've been fairly accomplished. You've always been a physical in-the-box guy. But
yeah,
the skills, the ball skills are kind of get underrated on you. We had a touchdown for an interception for a touchdown a year ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some things that you brought to the table. Did they realize maybe how good you were? Or did you fall through the cracks a little bit when it came to evaluation?
I don't know what it was. I mean – I mean, I don't know how they do all that kind of stuff. And because I know, just like Rico Allen went fifth round, and Rico probably had better stats than every corner who got drafted before him.
Yeah, he had 13 career interceptions at Purdue.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure I had more tackles, and I got the ball in college too. So I probably had better stats than most of the guys who were drafted before me. But, hey, it happened for a reason, and I love where I'm at, and I'm happy where I'm at. But as far as talent and stuff, I knew I was a good tackler and the box guy. When I got drafted, they told me, I was like, we love the way you tackle. And the thing that I had to expand my game was with showing them I could actually play the ball and cover guys. But the real thing was just understanding the professional football now, like route concepts and knowing where guys are lined up and who they're trying to get the ball to on a certain play. because it's way different. College, 3rd-and-1, you know they're running the ball. Patriots, 3rd-and-1, they'll play action and throw it deep, and you'll be like, whoa. I didn't expect that, and it'll go right over your head.
How difficult was yesterday from a communication standpoint? You got crowd noise, and talk the fan through a little bit of the on-the-road stuff. You guys practice it here with all the noise. But trying to communicate, you and Rico are trying to communicate to one another, especially with this team who wanted to use a lot of tight ends, flop formations, flop strength. I mean, trying to get lined up properly.
Yeah, that's another thing I was trying to get at, like just understanding professional football, the route concepts, and knowing personnel. Yeah, with the crowd noise, when we're on defense, the crowd, they kind of quiet now because the offense is on the field. But me and Rico, we talk to each other even before the play. Once we get the call, we try to get that call as fast as possible so we get back and see everything, because lining up basically plays the down for us. Once we get lined up right, good things are going to happen.
How much can a call change for you? Take the fan through that a little bit, just the generic call. Like yesterday with them flopping, let's say the two tight ends line up on one side and both of them flop to the other side, the receiver steps off, the receiver steps on, and then they send a guy in motion. How much can that change in one play for you?
Yeah, I mean, the defense is quite simple, but there's a lot of things that happen within that defense. Like if the X and the Z are on the same side, we have a check that we rotate guys and do things like that. But if it's normal formation, two guys move, then we're spinning the whole call. But if one guy moves, we just slide a couple players. But it's a lot of things that goes on.
That's a lot going on.
You've essentially learned two defensive systems in 4 years. Mm-hmm. How much carryover was there? Now, after going through DQ's system for a year, was there any carryover at all, or did you just basically have to do a full erase?
It's basically a full erase.
Okay.
Wow. Because we – When Coach Smith was here, we played just about everything: cover 4, cover 6, cover 3.
Yeah.
But DQ's cover 3 is very detailed. There's a specific technique they use. We're not going to go out there and use our own stuff because they take time and effort to teach us a technique, and that technique works. You see it in Seattle. It worked in Seattle, and the guys were buying. Everybody's buying into the system now. Like we're a year in it now, and it works. If we can get it down right and do it right, good things will happen.
Come on, Ishmael, with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Come on, you're a real positive guy. It's been fun to watch you, the way you interact with your teammates. You've got a team that's trying to establish a pass rush. You guys are trying to establish pass rush. Went out and got some players. The pass rush just hadn't quite gotten to where maybe it's going to be at some point. Do you say anything to those guys up front? Hey, keep coming. And you guys covered. I thought there were a number of plays yesterday where the rush pushed him off his spot a little bit. You guys were glued to people in the back end where he had no place to throw the ball.
Yeah.
What do you say to the front four guys to try to keep their spirits up and keep them moving?
You know what? Sometimes you just got to tell them, man, keep going, man. Hey, we're going to get there eventually. Y'all do y'all job on the front side. We'll do our job on the back end. Yesterday, I feel like, we did get some pressure. And the guys, they fought through a lot, double teams, getting cut. And, I mean, those guys have contact every play, so it's not like we're on them like, man, do better. Nah, we understand your issue, just like how they understand our issue. We're covering, we're running, but they're hitting every play. And, I mean, my hat's off to them. We can do better in the pass rush, just like how we can do better on the backside covering guys. But I mean, when everybody's out there giving it their all, I mean, there's nothing we can tell them. We're out there trying to play. We're out there grinding. So I'm never gonna hate or stop another man's grind. Cause from Grady to Upshaw to Babineau, to Hate Rashid to everybody, Freeney on that line, everybody was grinding. Vic made a nice tackle, on a crunch play, and I was proud of him. I was like, man, Vic, good job. That play was needed to get off the field, and I was happy, man.
Yeah, you guys are like – you and Rico are like quarterbacks back there in the fact that as a quarterback, I remember as you always try to make other people feel good about what they were doing. Mm-hmm. And so the little positive sprinkles of sugar you could put on them, making them feel better, maybe that lights a fire where they were able to rush a little bit more the next time. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, what do you tell them about New Orleans?
Division game, and it's gonna be more intense than Oakland. Division games are always more physical, just like the Tampa game. Tampa was physical. This game is, and it's double, man. It's a division game, and it's a regular game, so it's double. It costs more. It's worth more. So we're going to go in the lab and watch film and get down to it.
There'll All right. be a lot of one last question. There'll sure. be a lot of pomp and circumstance with this game because it's the 10th anniversary of Katrina. Mm-hmm. You weren't on the team, and I think Babineau is the only team that was
yeah,
on the team
Babineau
when we
is,
went.
Yep.
We went 10 years ago, but went down there on a Monday night 10 years ago. It was the first game they'd had in their building since Katrina. Mm-hmm. Block punt by Steve Gleason, who yep. unfortunately has ALS now and has been very courageous in his fight against that disease, but he made the play. And they won the game. I'm not sure an NFL All-Star team would have won that night, but
yeah.
does that have – do you guys think about that at all? Is there any thought about what they're making the game out to be?
It's probably their Super Bowl. It's probably going to be their Super Bowl right now. But I haven't thought about it. And like I said, I wasn't even here for it.
Sure.
But I know it's going to be something special for them, and they're going to treat it like their Super Bowl and try to get after us.
Have fun, Bob.
Thanks, Kamal. Yeah, Kamal Ishmael with us in the Player Spotlight. That puts the wraps on another edition of the Dan Quinn Coaches Show from Flowery Branch. For Dave Archer, Wes Durham.